experiences the original radio show that tells their backstory, one revolution at a time. Join me Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM and anytime in the archives.
Crackle, crackle. Pop, pop.
The Vinyl Experience on PRN.FM.
Do you want to know the latest news or upcoming events? Follow us at Twitter at PRN_radio or click the Twitter icon on our homepage. You can also friend us on Facebook. Just search Progressive Radio Network. Always new and up to date. The Progressive Radio Network, your home for thoughtful and informative information.
City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting through our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. We're going to have a packed day today. We're going to talk about health and nutrition and how selenium, a micronutrient, can really decrease the risk of cancer by 50%. Good news there. And then how lifestyle changes are more important than drugs at lowering cholesterol. Well, that's good to know also. And then how there's a potent healing power of terpenes and found in the medical cannabis. I'll tell you what terpenes are also. And from the University of Aberdeen, fish oil supplements boost muscle function and quality in women, especially older women. Plus, we're going to look at the antioxidants that we use and how they reduce the risk of kidney cancer. A lot more on that. I'm setting aside more time today for environmental issues, just to get us aware that even if we're not immediately at risk or we're unaware of environmental disasters, we should pay attention as to what they are, where they're at, and why they're happening, and what we can learn from these. So I have a lot on that, including climate disruption's legacy. What we're going to have coming up right now as we speak, mega droughts, extinctions, and obituaries for all of the ocean's reefs, and more. Also today, I'm going to take a look at goodbye grasslands. Now, this is important because what's happening in North Dakota, that's part of the grassland. The grasslands go from Texas up to Canada. They include Wyoming, for example, which has one of the most beautiful grasslands in America. But from satellites at night, you see all these lights. Those are oil drinking gas rigs at night, and it's being destroyed. And I'll explain why that's important. Also, we can thank the think tanks to generate endless wars and why that's not a good thing. And from our audio clips today, we're going to take aim at several issues. One is we want to look at the truth about chemotherapy. One of my very first major national articles was on the politics of cancer. And I'd written several articles, dozens of articles before them, but no one would publish anything on cancer. I went to Mother Jones, to Harper's, to the New York Other, to the Ramparts. I went everywhere. Cancer was just off limits. And finally, a local newspaper on the East Side published it. And that led to a whole series of 58 cover stories, a series called Medical Genocide. And it took on the medical establishment really strong. And it led to a 60 Minutes piece and a 2020 piece that won two Emmys. And all told, I did about 12 on cancer alone. So today, it's as if none of this happened. 99% of the people who get cancer go right for orthodox treatment. And only a small number of people are treating it using natural non-toxic methods. I want you to hear from a physician about chemotherapy when he did the actual research. He studied the clinical trials. He studied the data, metadata, and ask a basic question. When you're given chemotherapy, does it extend the quality of your life and the length of your life? That simple. I want you to hear his answer. Also, what we're doing in the United States now, in honoring not just the sovereignty of the Native American spirit and their philosophy and their right to live and have clean water, they're also doing around the world. And one country that has a very strong naturalist and environmental movement that honors the natives of Australia is a group in Australia. And one of their spokespersons is challenging the Carmichael coal mine and asking the government to get real about how they're dealing with the terrain, the habitat, and the natives, the Aborigines. So you have a chance to hear that from one of their activists, and it's very similar to what's going on here in the United States. Also, I want you to hear about there's a lot of fake news now, and I believe that a lot of it is planted with the intent of having alternative media publish it without first verifying its accuracy and then discrediting all that alternative media. But it does not mean that there's not some truth. Example, this whole pizza pedophilia business is going on. You don't want to touch that because there's no proof of it. However, there's a great deal of proof, solid proof, that at the highest levels of government and in the media, including the BBC, pedophilia was common. There were large groups involved, and they successfully covered it up for decades. Now, I want you to hear this, because you would think there is no such thing as pedophilia and famous people and powerful people. It's not true. This is just the latest effort by the government to uncover the truth. And I won't say more than that, because once you hear what people are saying, and these are the mainstream media in England and members of the government in England, how hard it is to get to the truth when you have famous people involved. But it's real there. So if you believed just the guardians of the gates of orthodoxy in the United States, there is no pedophilia. It doesn't exist among famous people. Wrong, it does. And also I'm going to play a clip about how liberals really feel about black people on many issues. And I think it's time that we really got this message right, because all the blacks, as you will hear, who heard this from white liberals at a college campus had a different point of view. I won't say anything more than that. You can make up your own mind from it. And also, there's a complete U.S. media blackout on Monsanto's weed killer found in high amounts in Cheerios cereals and Stacy's pita chips and much more. Ed Schultz on that. So you see, we have a lot to share today. Let's begin. To me, there's no mystery as to why we have so much kidney cancer. We are seeing more soft drinks consumed with more high fructose corn syrup. We're drinking more alcohol. Every single glass of alcohol destroys kidney and liver cells, brain cells and heart cells. And one day you finally see the total toll. Your kidneys start functioning improperly. There's cancer in the kidneys, the liver the same way. And then you can't metabolize your food or eliminate the byproducts. By that time, it might be 10, 20, 30 years before you notice it. But this is the latest study. And now kidney cancer is among the top 10 cancers in the United States. It used to be very rare. And there are two different types of kinds of kidney cancer. One is the renal pelvis carcinoma, which attacks the central area of the kidneys. And the second is the renal cell carcinoma, which affects the lining of the tiny tubes that filter blood. Well, if your kidney goes, then you've got all this toxemia in the body. And if you're on a high-protein diet, all the worse, because the kidneys have to break down that protein, especially animal protein, and you have urea and ammonium, and filter it out. Ammonium and any of the animal-based protein byproduct breakdowns, urethra, are extremely toxic to the kidneys. So that's why a plant-based diet, a vegan diet, is much healthier for the kidneys. Here's the good news. Quote, study shows antioxidants reduce the risk of kidney cancer. Now, we know that we get antioxidants when we have a fresh glass of juice, vegetable or fruit, doesn't matter. When we take our proper supplements each day, when we're eating healthy, we're getting antioxidants. But we're not getting enough. We need far more vitamin C than what we would get by eating an orange or having a glass of orange juice. You would have to eat a bushel basket of oranges, in my opinion, every day to get the amount of vitamin C that you need. I believe most Americans need between 3 to 15,000 milligrams a day. The average American is probably getting under 300 a day, unless they supplement. So when it shows that we're getting our antioxidants and getting enough of them, and they're in abundance in the body, that's good, because that reduces damage to the kidneys. And that's this latest study. So take your vitamin C, take your vitamin E, and take all of the antioxidants and help protect your kidneys. Also, there are early signs of Alzheimer's disease from the University of Aberdeen in the United Kingdom, and simple things that you got to pay attention to, like beginning to forget names, beginning to forget if you left your keys or if you turned off the lights, simple things that we just don't pay any attention to, but that could be an early sign of dementia, which then frequently leads to Alzheimer's. That means your brain cells are dying off or that they're being infiltrated with amyloid plaque. And anything that creates inflammation, your hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, alcohol, sugars, artificial sweeteners, caffeine, all that can contribute along to environmental pollutants and a lot of the plastics and aluminum and a lot of the heavy metals that we put in our body, our mercury fillings, the fluoride in the water, all these contribute to inflammation. So getting on a cleansing, healthy diet and then starting to take lots of juices, especially green juices, help cleanse the body, cleanse the brain, cleanse the bloodstream, and helps prevent that. So make sure that you're, if you're showing any signs of memory loss, that's a red flag. And when you get that, go on a brain detoxification protocol. And I'll be doing an extensive discussion on an upcoming program on detoxifying the brain. For all of the women in the audience from McGill University, study shows regular sex improves your memory. Well, now I know why some people I know have no memory. A team of researchers at McGill University, which is in Canada, found evidence to suggest that women who engage in frequent sex experience memory improvements. I don't see that on anyone's protocol, and it should be. So why? Well, because it impacts the stress levels, it reduces stress, and turns off cortisol to the degree it was, and catecholamines, and it helps maintain better blood sugar level, and it gives you the oxytocin, the love hormone, all of which are very powerful and very important for the brain. Meta-analysis finds dose-response relationship between increasing magnesium intake and lowered diabetes risk from Karolinska Institute, that's in Sweden. And the results of a systemic review and meta-analysis published in the peer-reviewed Nutrients found that when you're taking more magnesium, and this was with over 637,000 people, and they're looking at 100 milligram dose, and to me that's real low. I would say 500 to 1,000 milligrams, and that reduces your risk of first having muscle cramps, secondly, of not being able to sleep at night because it relaxes the muscle, third, it helps protect your heart against heart attacks, it helps protect you if you have AFib or any form of heart irregularity, it helps rebalance that so your heart rhythm comes back to normal. Plus, now we're knowing it helps you prevent diabetes, which means that all you pre-diabetic and diabetic, you should be taking magnesium. There is a mushroom. It is called the Lingzhi, L-I-N-G-Z-H-I. New research shows that it combats aging, disease, and cancer. According to Dr. Mark Circus, for years, he wanted to use Chinese medicine in his protocols, but didn't. I guess because there's just a bias about anything done outside the United States not being scientific. Well, in point of fact, these fungi, these very important mushrooms, have had thousands upon thousands of studies showing that they can help the immune system, and they can help prevent a lot of metastasizing of cancer, even preventing cancer. So with this one, it is even more powerful than many of the others. Now, the shiitake, the maitake, the reishi are the top three. But now you have to add in this one. L-I-N-G-Z-H-I slows down the aging process, and all because of its remarkable gene coding for what is called cytochrome P45 enzymes. These enzymes not only afford this species a broad arsenal for producing secondary metabolites for digesting nutrients, but may also confer benefits to human health, such as enhancing the degradation of toxins and free radicals and increasing your liver's metabolic efficiency. All these are important. Now, there is a chemical group called terpenes, T-E-R-P-E-N-E-S, and you find them in cannabis, especially in the oil. And also, you know them from there's other things such as dimethyl sulfide group, the DMSO, an organic sulfur compound that was used only as an industrial solvent, but is also known for its positive health effects. It's been used a lot on people with autoimmune conditions. You also can find this in the aroma of pine trees. But there's also, you can find in anise, oregano, menthol, cinnamon, and even citrus. That largely comes from terpenes, more commonly referred to as essential oils. And terpenes are considered the strongest anti-inflammatory, anti-tumor compounds found in nature. And numerous terpenes have been shown to possess rapid acetylcholine action, meaning our brain's main neurotransmitter. So when you have adequate acetylcarnitine, A-C-E-T-Y-L-C-H-O-L-I-N-E, it means that you're going to have better brain function, faster brain function, quicker to resolve issues mentally. So you also have it in all these compounds. And now we're finding out that it will do such things as, let's say, improve blood circulation, enhance immunity, gives us overall better health. So just wanting you to know that these oils are very important, and sometimes using them as essential oil and just putting a couple drops on your pillow can make a difference. Other times, depending upon what you want, like a wild oregano oil, you want to consume it, diluted in water. Generally, it's 30 to 1, meaning you put one drop of the oil in the water and 30 parts of water, and with great health benefit. And also, great news, superbugs get destroyed with powerful vitamins. This is a new bunch of research talking about how bad the bacteria can be out there, some of the antibiotic superbugs that are resistant to all modern drugs. They're called antibiotic apocalypse, meaning we don't have any antibiotic to kill these bugs. But according to some research, vitamin C prevents and reverses drug-resistant sepsis. Now, sepsis is a bacterial infection that can result from methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA. And it has a 40% fatality rate and no effective treatment from conventional medicine. Well, sepsis can activate blood clotting pathways and create oxidative stress, in turn causing capillary plugging, in which blockages prevent oxygen from reaching organ tissue, causing organ failure and death. And a study for the University of Western Ontario, researchers found that a single injection of vitamin C, when administered early at the time of induction of sepsis, prevented a capillary plugging with a protective effect continuing for up to 24 hours afterwards. And a delayed injection was effective as well, reversing capillary plugging by restoring blood flow. So vitamin C is inexpensive, it's safe, it's devoid of side effects, and it's very important. In fact, in another laboratory study conducted at Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University, yielded dramatic and unexpected results when researchers discovered a previously unknown mechanism in vitamin C that can help kill drug-resistant mycobacterial tuberculosis. So it's got a lot of benefits. So if you know someone who has MRSA, then you ought to get them on intravenous vitamin C immediately. And that will make an enormous difference. All right, and also selenium, which is a very, very important micronutrient, meaning you only need about 200 micrograms a day. Well, according to the latest study, it decreases the risk of death from cancer by 50%. From Natural Health, quote, an organic compound of selenium has been shown in studies to literally halve your chances of dying from cancer, slashing the risk of cancer by an amazing 50%. And so that's important to know. You don't need a lot, but most people don't get enough in any case. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. As you know, there's an awful lot of fake news. Where is this leading? Why is all this being focused upon right now? Because they tried to say, if you remember, during the presidential process, that don't pay attention to the substance of what is being said about Hillary Clinton and those leaked emails based upon her top campaign advisor, John Podesta, but rather blame it on Russia and don't give it any credibility because it comes from Julian Assange's WikiLeaks. And I kept thinking to myself, surely someone over at MSNBC or one of the other highly supportive of Hillary Clinton's campaign would say, well, what does it matter what the source is as long as we can verify that the information itself is accurate? The source is irrelevant. I want to know, is it true or not? Now, if the information cannot be supported, if it's found to be wrong, then you have an absolute right to be critical of anything more coming from that administration. But that said, why weren't they looking at the fact that in 10 million leaks given out to the press, not one single one was found to be inaccurate? They were all accurate. 10 million. What's the odds of 10 million all accurate to zero inaccurate? That means you've got a highly credible source in Julian Assange's WikiLeaks. And on the other hand of that, reverse it. Virtually all the people in the Obama administration and Clinton have been found to give misinformation over a long period of time and supported things that were wrong, and the media should have picked up on that. So now that it's all accelerated, now we see where this is going. All you have to do is, here's the basic issue in life, and it applies to many things. Not everything, but many. Find out who profits from being right, and then you know where you should be looking for the truth. Because the people who profit from something also propagandize on behalf of themselves in order to make you believe that they are right. As a result, the tobacco industry didn't have any successful litigation against it. The pesticide industry didn't have for decades. DDT was known to be toxic 30 years before it was banned. So they profit from it. Same way with all the medications. Same way with the banking system. They profited. So that's something we don't consider, and we should. So we have figured out what this is leading to. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a little tip. It's leading to the censorship of really good activists, Robert Perry, Truthdig, the Countercurrents, Paul Craig Roberts, the people who are there to give you accurate information, insightful information, and who have a history of being right on these issues. So by lumping all of the fake news together, then you can say we should no longer allow these people to be given a forum on the internet, and then ask the different providers to ban them. This is a new form of McCarthyism, and it's starting, but it's going to accelerate. And with Donald Trump in power, he's going to accelerate it even more. So I'm doing a very detailed special. It'll probably be several hours, where I'm bringing in a group of experts on this very topic to talk about the new McCarthyism. And that will be tonight, 7 o'clock, on the Progressive Commentary Hour. I hope you have a chance to tune in. But in light of how much misinformation we're given, and we're going to give you example after example after example, I want you to hear misinformation now that is exposed by a doctor who decides to tell the truth about cancer treatment, specifically chemotherapy. Let's hear what he has to say.
Various types out there. What are some of the things that you've seen in terms of your patients, and what some of the things that you've been able to do?
A better thing to talk about in relationship to, well, I will talk about that, right? A better thing to talk about, however, is the relationship between profits and cancer in the United States. There was a study that was published, I believe it was in 1994. It was a 12-year program, 12-year study. They looked at adults who had developed cancer as an adult, not childhood cancer, but adult cancer, right? And this is the main types of cancer that we get here in the United States. They did a meta-analysis of these people all around the world who developed cancer as adults for 12 years and were treated with chemo. And they looked at the results. And they published the results in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. And the results? 97% of the time, chemotherapy does not work. 97% of the time, it doesn't work. So why is it still used? It's one reason and one reason only. Money. If you go to a medical doctor, an MD, with a sinus infection, and that doctor prescribes an antibiotic, he gets no financial kickback. Now, if he prescribes 5,000, of that antibiotic in 1 month, the drug company that makes it might send him to Cancun for a conference, right? But he gets no direct remuneration. It's not with chemotherapeutic drugs, it's different. Chemotherapeutic drugs are the only classification of drugs that the prescribing doctor gets a direct cut of. So if your doctor prescribes chemotherapy for you, here's how it goes, more or less. The doctor buys it from the pharmaceutical company for $5,000, sells it to the patient for $12,000, insurance pays $9,000, and the doctor pockets the $4,000 difference. And there ought to be a law. The only reason chemotherapy is used is because doctors make money from it, period. It doesn't work 97% of the time. If Ford Motor Company made an automobile that exploded 97% of the time, would they still be in business? No. This is the tip of the iceberg of the control that the pharmaceutical industry has on us. Most people have no idea of this at all. Now, I wrote a book. It's called The MD Emperor Has No Clothes, right? In my book, I have a bulleted list of 10 questions that every cancer patient should ask their doctor. 10 questions. I've had patients kicked out, literally, kicked out of the oncologist's office because the doctor was PO'd that the patient was asking them these questions. And these are just common sense questions. Cancer treatment in the United States, we have lost the war on cancer. We have lost the war on cancer. Why? Because cancer is not a reductionistic phenomenon. Cancer is a holistic phenomenon. And when you try to bring a reductionistic methodology like drugs and surgery to bear on a holistic phenomenon, you will completely miss the boat each and every time. You cannot do it. Medical doctors are like colorblind art critics. They can see that that's a boat. They can see the black and white outline, but they're completely blind to all of the colors and textures that make up the substance of the thing. It's no difference with cancer. The reason that people get cancer in the United States and the reason that we have completely lousy outcomes is because medical doctors are driving the research bus. When women get together and do a 5K run for breast cancer, all of that money, do you think any of that money goes to nutritional research? Do you think any of that money goes to homeopathic research or acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine or naturopathic research? No. All of it goes to drugs and surgery, which do not work. Now, why aren't those women running for selenium? If every girl in this country took 200 micrograms of selenium, in one generation, we'd eliminate breast cancer by 82%. That's a big number. Why aren't we doing that? Because medicine in the United States is a for-profit industry, and most people are completely unaware of this. And most people bow down to the altar of MD-directed high-tech medicine at their own.
Okay, ties into what I was reading earlier about selenium cutting the risk of death from cancer by 50%. Now let's take a different audio clip. What's going on in the United Kingdom about pedophilia? And mind you, for 40 years, this was covered up. Now it's not covered up because the older victims of these pedophilia rings, and this included prime ministers, it included lords within the House, it included top personalities on the BBC, it's all come out now. In spite of the fact it coming out, in spite of the fact that they have evidence, it's still being suppressed. That's how powerful the people behind it is. Now, this is real. And yet all someone has to do is take the reality of pedophilia and transpose it into fake stories, and then suddenly the whole matter is just swept aside. Oh, it's all quackery. It's all nonsense. None of that is real. Oh, yeah, it is real. It's happening in the United States. It's happening in Washington. But it's really being exposed both in Australia and in the United Kingdom. Now, the people you're about to hear are people in media and government.
Where there has been a failure to protect children from abuse, we will expose it and we will learn from it.
After less than a week in post, Lady Butler Sloss is tonight no longer leading the inquiry.
It must be set up and run in a manner that commands credibility and respect.
Fiona Wolf, the Lord Mayor of London, has stepped down as chair of an official inquiry into historic sexual abuse.
I plan to appoint Justice Lowell Goddard.
The head of the official inquiry into past handling of child abuse has resigned. Dame Lowell Goddard.
The inquiry into child sexual abuse gets its fourth head in 2 years.
Fresh problems for the independent inquiry into child abuse.
Ben Emerson, QC, the most senior lawyer working for the independent inquiry into historical child sexual abuse in England and Wales, has resigned.
The group who've been designated official participant status by the inquiry have lost faith in it.
Newsnight has learned of a claim that a senior figure on the inquiry sexually assaulted a colleague. It seems an investigation into that senior figure's behaviour has been quietly shelved.
A legal representative for Mr. Emerson said his client denied any claim of wrongdoing.
One of the key lawyers on the inquiry, a barrister called Toby Fisher, is leaving the inquiry. Another barrister has quit. Her name is Eileen McColgan.
Shirley Oaks Survivors Association is pulling out of the inquiry and is calling for its chair, Baroness Alexis Jay, to resign.
The conduct of the Independent Child Abuse Inquiry has come under serious criticism in a damning report by the Home Affairs Select Committee.
There is a risk to the inquiry's authority if there is a perception of a cover-up over allegations of abuse.
Tonight, inquiry chair Professor Alexis Jay announced an independent review.
Given all of the problems that they've had, there has to be much more transparency about what's gone wrong.
Now, you just heard a whole bunch of people, credible people, saying that, listen to all those people who were to head the official investigation into child abuse, and they all resigned. Why would they resign? Why wasn't there an explanation? Because the people at the highest levels of society were members of that child abuse ring, and that's how much power they have. So imagine then if you wanted to plant stories, if you wanted to plant fake stories in order to get people not to be interested in the real story, that's how you would do it. Now let's hear from the activist who is trying to stop the Carmichael coal mine in Australia from polluting its environment, very similar, almost identical to what is going on with the pipeline in North Dakota. This is happening in Australia. She just has a little different way of challenging them.
The Australian government is always proud to be at the cutting edge of innovation. That's why instead of the NBN and renewable energy, we're bringing you the very latest from 19th century technology, coal and rail. Introducing the Carmichael Coal and Rail Project, a coal mine plus a train. Innovation. Once completed, it'll be the hugest new coal mine in the world. Which is grouse, because as we know, coal is good for humanity, whereas renewables cause lightning and child drownings. To make crap, we'll also be guided by the latest in 19th century methodology, colonialism. That's why we're disregarding the protests of the Wangan and Jagalingu traditional owners, who, just like those pesky natives at Standing Rock, are standing firmly in the way of our crap to defend their sacred country and waters from obliteration. By combining crap and colonialism, Australia is getting rid of many great barriers to progress, such as the Great Barrier Reef, which we'll dredge to make room for our expanded coal terminal. It's already half anyway, and nobody likes to see a job half done. The Great Artesian Basin, which crap will freely drain and contaminate, will also help get rid of our current climate by digging up and burning 2.3 billion tons of coal, when we've been warned that the only way to avoid disaster is to keep that ground. To achieve all this, we've hired an offshore company with extensive experience in human rights abuses, environmental destruction and corruption, Adani. When you put all this together, you can see why it meets our full four-star world rating. And that's why we've given critical infrastructure status, which allows us to ignore any concerns you might have in order to fast-track it to completion. Why didn't we give the NBN critical infrastructure status? What a silly question.
Let's now listen to Ed Schultz talk about U.S. media blackout on information about Monsanto and glyphosate and some of the problems with that glyphosate, the most commonly used pesticide in the world, ending up in foods that the average American consumes.
Welcome back to the news on RT America Tonight. There is a new report out from Food Democracy Now! And the Detox Project, and they have found alarming levels of the chemical glyphosate. Now, the report says glyphosate is in many of America's most popular foods. Folks, this is a weed killer, glyphosate, and it was classified by the World Health Organization as a probable human carcinogen. Joining me now to talk about this is Dave Murphy, his founder and executive director at Food Democracy Now!, who issued the report. Dave, good to have you on tonight. Tell us, how dangerous is glyphosate? How dangerous is it?
Sure. Well, listen, glyphosate, you know, it's the main chemical ingredient in Roundup, Monsanto's best-selling weed killer Roundup. And the issue is the glyphosate use has exploded in the last 20 years because farmers in the U.S. and around the world have adopted genetically engineered crops, Roundup-ready crops that are engineered to survive being sprayed with large amounts of glyphosate, this weed killer. The problem really is, and we found this in these studies, we really had no idea where we were going to find or how much we were going to find. But it's very shocking that the largest, the highest level that we found is in Cheerios, you know, General Mills Cheerios, which is one of the first cereals that a mother feeds their child at between ages 6 months and a year. And those levels found in Cheerios, which are 1,125.3 parts per billion, are simply off the charts. And the question really is, what is the U.S. government doing to protect the American people? And the quick answer to that is, it appears not much, unfortunately.
And when you look at the major food groups that it ends up in, how alarming is this? Should Congress take a second look at this?
Listen, you know, glyphosate has been on the market for 40 years. And you look at what we did is a year and a half long investigation into the scientific research that the EPA accepted. We also studied the research that the EU, the European Union, used to determine what were the safe levels, what they're called as acceptable daily intake or ADI levels, that the U.S. federal government allows. The U.S. government's number is over almost six times higher than the EU, even though they relied on the same safety studies or the safety assessments to determine that level. So what we found in this new study with an FDA-certified laboratory, shockingly, the highest amounts that we found in this this is really a first round of testing to understand how widespread Monsanto's weed killer is in our food supply. I'm from a small town in Iowa, and I'll just say this. It's the most widely used chemical in the Midwest. And the problem with that is Iowa has the highest rates of cancer. And like you said, last year, the World Health Organization, the most credible health organization on the planet, 17 of their scientists reviewed glyphosate and determined that it was a class 2A probable carcinogen. Now, ironically, the Monsanto responds to these leading scientific experts and calls it junk science. And they say that they're activist scientists, which is shocking. Even worse is the U.S. federal government's response. The EPA basically said they've agreed with Monsanto. And that is, of course, after Monsanto had two or three meetings behind closed doors and showed all their scientific evidence. The real problem is, though, the data that Monsanto submits for these safety assessments in the 1970s and 80s and now 90s is out of date. Even worse is the fact that they're allowed to hide that data from the American public and even the scientific community. So you can't really properly assess the safety of a chemical if half the data is hidden from the scientific community.
Interesting.
We're just calling for a further investigation from the EPA. And here's the thing. So you asked about the food levels. What we really found is in 2014, General Mills Cheerios removed GMOs from Cheerios. So now we have the highest level on a product that does not contain GMOs, but it's because there's pre-harvest spraying of Roundup on oats and on barley and wheat.
So one more reason why we should be concerned. That's why you should be eating organic wherever possible. I'm going to close out our program today by taking a look at a large overarching issue. I'm going to go into it in greater detail on this evening's Progressive Commentary Hour, but we have an entire establishment in Washington numbering probably a neighborhood of 400,000, nearly a half million people who work for the arms industries directly or subcontractors or people who are former military personnel or former legislators who all have something in common. The defense budget is never challenged. Whatever they want, they get. It's enormously profitable because what is called cost plus. And they determine the cost of something. And everything in their company goes into it. When they fly on one of their private jets to a conference someplace, that's a part of that cost. And so we end up with an over-militarized society. Over 56% of all of our money, disposable income, goes to the military-industrial complex. That does not benefit the rest of America. Now, if it is required for us to help retool, retrain the factories and those individuals from a wartime basis to a peacetime basis, I fully support that. But just to give money where the only outcome can be, well, we have all these arms, we have all these systems, we better keep people terrorized of, let's say, Russia, so that we can then use these and hence a whole new $1 trillion, which will probably be $2 to $3 trillion, in new nuclear weapons. That's on top of the nuclear weapons, the thousands we already have, which are enough to destroy every single inhabitant on the Earth seven times over. So we've really lost perspective of the context. But then go to Russia today, because the critics of Russia and those who are so fearful that Russia somehow is going to annihilate us and therefore justify preemptive actions, they don't understand what it is to be in Russia. Russia is not a medieval society. Russia is no longer a communist society. Russia has a prospering, educated class of people. Russia is, well, Russia is unique. Now ask yourself, if you live in Russia, if you are in the government of Russia, would you want to have everything that you've created destroyed? The obvious answer is no. And so if you were to go to, for example, St. Petersburg, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful places on the earth, you would look at these wonderful heritage palaces and place, and you think, well, no one wants to see all this obliterated. But we should be thinking the same thing. Do we want a human life to be obliterated? Do we want the planet to be obliterated? Do we want everything that we value to be obliterated? The answer is no. I was listening to someone recently say they were talking about Russia as if it were a backwoods environment. It is not. The Winter Palace in St. Petersburg, there is no building I know of in the United States that can compare with it. It was built by Peter the Great, who ruled between 1686 and 1725. And he was the one who modernized Russia because he spent a year in England and also Holland learning shipbuilding. And he actually went into the shipyards himself every day and worked, physically wanted to know what it was like to build a ship, because Russia didn't have ships. They had no maritime at all. It was pretty much a landlocked country. And so once he learned about ships, he went back to Russia and he took engineers and shipmaster builders and he built up a navy. And you got to remember, before 1630, Russia had no ruler. It was ruled by aristocracy only. And all that changed after Peter the Great brought back ideas from Europe. And he became Peter the Great and became emperor at the age of, I think he was 9. And it was through his efforts that they started to create no longer wooden homes, but marble and onyx, because they had one of the largest groups of rocks in the world. So think about Petrov Palace. You could put the Pentagon in the Petrov Palace. That's how big it is. And look at the Academy of Sciences that Catherine the Great built. She patronized the neoclassical architects from Scotland and Italy. So you also have the Alexander Palace, which is so large that you could put the White House and our Capitol building inside this. You also have the Plovsk Palace. You have St. Basil's Cathedral, one of the most beautiful architectural structures in the world, St. Alexander Nevsky. And you also have in Moscow the Cathedral of Christ Savior. You're talking about some of the most beautiful architectural treasures in the world. You'd have to go to Istanbul to look at the Sophia building that was built between 1537 and 1453. Or you could go to Spain. If you've been to Spain, I've been to Spain. One of the most beautiful things in Spain is the Alhambra, which is just exquisite. Or the Grand Mosque of Mecca, which is also exquisite. So you have these wonderful places. And, of course, most people would agree the most beautiful ever built was the Taj Mahal, built between 1632 and 1655 by the Emperor Shah Jahan for his favorite wife, and she's buried in the crypt. And then the Golden Temple of Sri Darbar, which is also magnificent. And you have other places around the world, the Sagrada Familia Church in Barcelona, and the Rosalind Chapel in Scotland, just exquisite. And some of the largest ones are in Indonesia. So the point is this. we don't even take into account what it means to be a person going about your life each day and then suddenly having someone claim that you want to destroy them, and therefore you should be destroyed, and you should be surrounded, and you should have dozens of military bases, and you should have nuclear weapons, all pointed at you. And you're thinking, we didn't put our money into armaments after 1991. We put it into rebuilding our infrastructure. We put it into improving the quality of lives of those 134 million Russians who had lived through the state and no longer had free housing, and they no longer had free school, they no longer had free health care. They were caught in this giant changeover, this shock doctrine that, by the way, Larry Summers was one of the architects of that. And so now Russia has a highly educated and very dynamic community with some of the most beautiful architectural structures on earth, quality of life improving, still needs more improvement, but it's had sanctions against it, and it still survived. So Putin's not the one who wants to create a Cold War, but all of the last two administrations have, and they've done exactly that. Obama and Clinton, of course. My hope is that Trump will be a little smarter than them. But we're not looking at the human factor, and the neocons know that. They know that the only way they can continue to make outrageous profits and huge contracts and bleed over $1.5 trillion a year to themselves is they can create fake stories. And did you know that the Pentagon spends $500 million a year with its own department of propagandists? Every day these people are online trolling, trying to attack those who believe in progressive ideals, and putting forth misinformation. And that's why people think, and the media accepts without challenge, that it was Russia that was the provocateur in the Ukraine. It was not. That was a coup. And Hillary Clinton was all over that, as she was in Honduras. So the Pentagon sells us false information. The mainstream media picks that up and without question promotes it. Then smaller media use the New York Times and others as their source of record. Then they feel comfortable using it again, all dealing in lies. Look at all the false flags that have been promoted by the mainstream media, like the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and the weapons of mass destruction, even though there was adequate information and research and facts to disprove all that. By the way, John Pilger will also be on the program talking about his newest documentary on this very topic tonight. So that's why I have said repeatedly, don't trust the mainstream media. Do not believe all these stories unless you first independently verify it. If you can independently verify it and find out it's true, that's fine. But most of it is not, certainly not on political and economic issues. When they're still touting a 4.6% unemployment rate when it's actually closer to 27%, and when you can show New York Times reporter, isn't there at least 96 million Americans who have worked who are not working? They'll say yes. Well, then how do you come up with 4.6 unemployment? And then watch them fall off to the side, froth at the mouth like a fainting goat. So then ask yourself, what would happen if we were not motivated by fear? What would happen if we were motivated by a mutual trust and we began to disarm and take all of our nuclear weapons and dispose of them, be the first to show we're not afraid of dealing with people in a truly diplomatic and honest way, one that allows us to work together to go forward into a future based on trust. There's an entirely different outcome than if all you can do is demonize someone. And look what they did in demonizing Gaddafi. Look what they did in demonizing Saddam Hussein. Now, Saddam Hussein was not a nice person. But there's a difference between not a nice person and destroying their entire country, causing hundreds of thousands, over a million dead people. And yet we motivate through terror. So just another idea that maybe before we challenge a nation and disrespect its entire population, that we should first try to understand that population and its culture and the people and the young people in these countries, and how do they see the United States, and what do they believe we could do to work together? So we did not put our money into arms, but whether we put that money back into the United States, into de-ghettoizing our cities and having universal health care and having wages that are at least living wages and creating new jobs, wouldn't that be a better application? But as long as they keep demonizing, as long as they keep propagandizing, as long as they keep creating fake news, we'll keep believing them. As a result, we won't resolve any of our problems. We'll only create more. Those are my thoughts. I want to thank you all for listening. Tune in tonight, 7 p.m., Progressive Commentary Hour. Go to prn.fm or the Progressive Radio Network. Have a nice day, everyone.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there.